At the top of the show, Republicans have left Mackinac Island after their biennial leadership conference, which took place over the weekend. The Michigan Public Radio Network's Rick Pluta was there, and he joins us to bring us up to date on everything that happened.
Well, I'd like to, Mark, but there's a rule about Mackinac conventions, and that's what happens on Mackinac stays on Mackinac. thanks for inviting me.
That's exactly where we want to go with this segment. We want to know what happened. Was there much tension between the establishment wing of the GOP and the Tea Party? And was that tension, was any of that tension visible?
Well, yes, although the Tea Party, sort of there was this anticipation that there might be a Tea Party insurgency, there and present and directed at Governor Snyder and specifically at the effort to replace Lieutenant Governor Brian Kelly on the ticket next year.
Yes.
With a Tea Partier. But there just weren't that many there, and they were still pretty effectively contained. But you're sort of hearing a subtle or maybe not so subtle shift in messaging from the establishment wing of the Republican Party. And I say it's the establishment saying, this is our party and we want it back. The Tea Party has been going after, Rick Snyder and some other establishment Republicans saying that they're not really Republicans because they don't adhere to conservative principles. They don't adhere to the Republican platform, things like that. And there were a lot of variations on a theme of, if you want to call someone a rhino, a Republican in name only, mm-hmm. a rhino is someone who – after the fight is over and you've won or you've lost, that you pick up your marbles and you go home because you're not happy with the result.
Mm-hmm.
And they say so what they're saying is the Tea Partiers are in so many words is that Tea Partiers who say that they're not going to vote for Governor Snyder next year because he's not sufficiently conservative, who they might not support the ticket if they can't get Brian Kelly off it and replaced with one of their own, that they're not going to participate, that they're the ones who are not the real Republicans. And that's definitely a different form of pushback on that.
Was Wes Nakagiri at the conference?
He was there, although interestingly, he tried to arrange a get-together in Mackinac City on the other side of the Straits of Mackinac from the island. And somehow, mysteriously, the event got canceled, that there were, permitting issues that showed up late in the game.
What was that all about?
I don't know, but it's kind of interesting that apparently, it's pretty difficult to rent a room in Mackinac City but maybe that's just for some people.
Well, let's talk about these straw polls, which really generated an awful lot of attention yesterday. Lieutenant Governor Brian Kelly was the winner, was the notable winner mm-hmm. in the straw poll for Lieutenant Governor.
Yeah, 86%, no surprise, especially since, really this is a conference of the Republican establishment. Other people, other elements of the party will come into it, but it's on Mackinac Island at the Grand Hotel. It's expensive to get there. It's expensive to stay there. And so, simply economics, keeps a lot of people away. But I don't think it's any surprise that the vast majority of the party does support Brian Kelly and quite frankly doesn't really doubt his conservative credentials. Has he, strayed from that line? Yes. I mean, that he was basically the author and chief advocate of the autism insurance mandate, just to name one. But no one really doubts that.
Supported Medicaid expansion.
He supported the Medicaid expansion, but other than that, that's, pretty not the autism mandate, but there are a lot of business groups that were along with that too, and he's considered to be a pretty reliable pro-business Republican.
And the governor, in a statement yesterday, claimed that Brian Kelly is a conservative voice.
Oh, not just the governor,
in the administration.
I was not aware of this before Mackinac Island, but one of the minor revelations to me is that conservative voice is apparently Brian Kelly's middle names.
Okay.
He is Brian, conservative voice, Kelly. Apparently his parents had plans for him because it was just like it was joined to his name, I think, every time it got mentioned.
How much of that is politics, though, and how much of that
Mark,
is
it's really a politics conference.
Born out by the record?
I mean, what's your – and this is something – I mean, this is true in both the Republican and the Democratic coalitions. I mean, it depends on your – in this case, you know, what your definition of conservative is, and where do you draw the lines about whether one is a conservative or not? Just to conjure up an example, if you are – a social conservative. If that's why you're part of the Republican Party and you came in because you want marriage to be defined in law as one man and one woman, that you are ardently anti-abortion, a Republican who's not with you on that because, you know, that they want less government regulation and low taxes – you know, is that going to be sufficiently Republican for you?
It depends on the litmus test.
It depends on what, you know, your particular issues are, right, and what is it that brings you into the coalition that will decide whether or not you think someone is sufficiently, you know, Republican or whatever it is that you're looking for.
Rand Paul of Kentucky, who is something of a rock star with an awful lot of Republicans, ended mm-hmm. up winning a presidential straw poll. What's the takeaway from that?
Well, I mean, we should point out that you know, straw polls by their nature, they're not scientific. They're not an accurate measure of Republican of public opinion. And in this case, about a third of the participants actually cast a ballot in the straw poll. But they are a signal of where the activists, you know, the people who are going to do all the early work in a campaign are headed. And certainly Rand Paul got, you know, points for showing up and speaking to this group. But he is a rock star largely because of the filibuster about in the Senate about the administration's use of drones. And people just remember that, you know, he stood up and spoke, you know, for hours and hours and hours and effectively, to them, you know, that's an accomplishment. The second place winner, although pretty far back, 36% for Paul, Chris Christie got 16% of the votes. And what I was told, though, is that what that suggests is what Republicans are looking for in this cycle, at least, you know, Michigan Republicans who are going to get out and work in the early stages of a presidential campaign, are looking for someone with passion that they believe is principled and honest about what they're doing. And, you know, I mean, Rand Paul and Chris Christie are both, you know, a little bit larger than life, colorful figures that, that people are intrigued by. I mean, sort of in Rand Paul's case, one of the things that was interesting was he actually made some pretty big news up on Mackinac Island when he said that basically, you know, killing Obamacare is probably not in the cards, and that Republicans maybe ought to start looking at trying to improve it, you know, make it something more like what they'd want to see. And, you know, this is at the same time that members of Michigan's Republican congressional delegation are showing up to, you know, cheers and huzzas for their votes on the budget resolution to, defund Obamacare. And if they don't get that, then, you know, threatening a government shutdown. By the way, the governors who were there were not happy about that at all. Scott Walker said it was a bad idea. Governor Snyder said that shutdown isn't good for anyone. But, you know, Rand Paul came up and said, it's time to start compromising, not what you say at an event like that.
Well, do you think that comment might get a lot of ardent anti-Obamacare types, defund Obamacare types, to really reconsider their positions?
Oh, I don't know. That's a great question. You know, when it came time for his dinner address to this group, he mentioned it, but only because it was sort of gaining traction throughout the day. And I'm not sure that the people who were there, that it even really registered. It seemed like it was almost shoehorned in when he said, I'd like to defund Obamacare, but, you know, I would settle for making it better. And then he just kind of moved on. I don't know if it even registered. But the other thing too is, you know, when you're a politician and you actually, you know, people have faith in you, that does give you a certain amount of latitude to do things that the base might otherwise be skeptical of. I mean, I think it's a place that Rick Snyder certainly tried to go to with a whole lot of issues, the Medicaid expansion being the most recent one, but certainly the International Bridge in Detroit, road funding to name two others. And he just doesn't have the same cachet as a Rand Paul to pull that off.
Could Paul's comment also reduce his own support, though?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. I absolutely. It is a risk. As a matter of fact, there are sort of two schools of thoughts about why he said that and the when and the where. And one of them is that, you know, he just doesn't recognize that when you put yourself out there like that as a prospective presidential candidate, everything you say gets picked up, examined,
re-examined
and passed along. Or maybe, Saturday is the slowest news day of the week. People aren't paying attention, that you're far away from Washington, D.C. and the media megaphone that's there. And, maybe it's a nice, quiet way to kind of roll out your position on that. Mm,
very interesting.
Yeah.
Now, could you say that there were other key Republicans attending here? Governor Bobby Jindal, you mentioned Scott Walker earlier. Mm-hmm. Carl Rove.
And by the way, we talked about people who are attending, that Bobby Jindal, out of like 500 and something people who voted, only got 7 votes in that straw poll. So, that suggests something about the power of attending, versus, just the star cachet that you had.
Yeah, and Christie was not there at all either.
He
was the only other guy to finish in double digits. And Rand Paul had the keynoter on Saturday night. Mm-hmm. So you would think that
actually Rand Paul followed Bobby Jindal, who delivered a very well-received speech.
Okay. Could you let's talk about the Senate race. Was there an Describe the mood surrounding Terry Lynn Land's campaign. I mean, Justin Amash just a few days ago made it official. He's out. She would be up here.
It almost seems to be hers for the taking. I mean, it's the brass ring is almost, she's almost got it, but not quite. That people are still looking and wondering if someone else is going to jump in. Dr. Rob Steele from the Ann Arbor area, he ran against John Dingell a little while back and did respectably, and by respectably meant that he lost only in low double digits to the chairman and not high double digits. But he's still out there. But I think that people are starting to sort of coalesce around the idea that it's going to be Terry Land. Just wondering if there isn't someone else out there. And she was working the convention very hard, and I would say acting almost like the nominee in waiting.
Very good. Good stuff. Rick Plute of the Michigan Public Radio Network, back from Mackinac Island, and what happens on the island stays on the island.
Well, the rest of it does.
The rest of it does. Thanks, Rick.